with Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Four o'clock, Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch on location in Avon, where the Crushers take on the Gateway Grizzlies later on tonight. And my tag team partner, Matt Douglas, is back in studio. But Matt is not alone. He has our next guest lined up, Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram. Dave joins us on our local beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry. Stop by and you'll see why. Visit Jim and Bob and the entire gang at Vandermark Jewelers. They are located in Elyria, right across from the hospital on Broad Street. We've been telling you this for the last couple of years. They're a trusted name in jewelry, but you have to stop by and see why. Shopping for jewelry, as a guy, I can tell you, can always be a bit of an uncomfortable situation. It's not when you go to Vandermark Jewelers. It's actually a very nice experience when you head on down to Vandermark Jewelers, because they find out exactly what you're looking for. They get you what you need, and then they send you on your way. It's that simple. Dave, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right, Paul. How you doing?
So far, so good. And boy, you've been all over the place. You know, when this whole thing first started, we primarily had you in to focus on issues that were going on in and around Elyria, but you have been all over the place. And last week when we had you on, we weren't quite sure if we were going to get you on Tuesday because you were being yanked in a few different directions, and now there's more news coming out of this entire Gibson's Bakery versus Oberlin College saga, and the college is now on the hook for $44 million, but how does all of this break down, and how much at the end of this do you think the college is ultimately going to have to pay?
Well, here's the issue, is that the jury didn't hear from Judge Maraldi exactly, you know, how that breaks down. Because of what lawyers would be familiar with, and maybe some of the listeners out there, is tort reform law. There are caps, as we've discussed in the Chronicle, there are caps on how much you can award. Now, there's caps on compensatory damages, and there's caps on what are called the punitive damages. Compensatory are for the things that the jury found that Oberlin College did that harmed in an economic or non-economic way the Gibsons. The punitive damages are, this is so Oberlin College never does this ever again, to deter future conduct, and also basically just to punish. Punitive equals punish. The Gibsons are never going to see $44 million. That is according to basically all the attorneys that I've talked to since the verdicts were handed down. It's just not going to happen. Because of the caps, you have a cap on compensatory damages, which depending on how it gets argued in court, and this is all going to get sorted out through motions and arguments that will be forthcoming, and we're paying close attention to the filings in the in the courthouse, and so we'll get you as soon as we find out, you'll find out. But there's a cap on how much you can award based on each plaintiff for each incident of, say, libel. If Oberlin College says XYZ about David Gibson and it's not true and the jury finds that way, he's entitled to a certain amount of awards, up to a certain amount of money. Now, then those compensatory damages, whatever they turn out to be, multiply that by two, that's the cap on your punitive damages. So no more money than two times those compensatory damages can be awarded as punitive damages. I realize, again, this is all very, you know, some of this is very technical legal jargon that we are sorting out ourselves. Again, many of these cases get settled before they ever even get in front of a jury. And a lot of times they get settled where you don't get to find out what the final award is. In this case, I think a lot of that's going to be hammered out in the courtroom. Now, there's still the possibility that the Gibsons and Oberlin College could get in a room outside of public view, hammer out some sort of settlement. That's a possibility. It could all end up going to the appeals court, and on appeal, the appeals court could come back and say, we didn't find this to be accurate. We didn't find this to be accurate. That itself could get appealed to a higher court. Basically, at this point, we just don't know how much the Gibsons are going to see from Oberlin College, but I can pretty much guarantee you from everybody I've been talking to, from all the experts and all the research that I've been doing, it's not going to be $44 million.
Do you know what would be – does it go to the appellate court after this? Or
that's a possibility. Okay. That's a possibility. In Ohio, you can appeal anything from a traffic ticket to a death penalty case to your local, your district – Court of Appeals. Mm-hmm. I believe out here it's the 9th. I've only ever dealt with the 11th when I was working over in on the east side of Akron. So forgive me if I got that wrong, but I believe it's the 9th district out here. They'll hear anything, and that could be everything from the judge allegedly said something that one of the sides didn't like, and they appeal that, or they appeal just the actual reading of the law or the jury instructions. Anything that's appealable in motions on appeal will go to that appeals court. A three judge panel will hear it, and then they'll either kick it back to the lower court to figure something out, order a new trial, or it will get appealed again to a higher court, and then you may end up seeing it go to the Ohio Supreme Court. Again, I don't know in this particular instance that it will ever reach that point. And there's so many things that could happen along the way. You know, it's like being a juggler, and just you have a chainsaw and a tennis ball and a basketball and a watermelon in the air. Yeah. And you just, you know, at any one of them, you know, you drop it and it's disaster, you know. So there's a lot of things that are still in motion here. And we really just don't know at this point.
All right. Because I know initially Oberlin College had kind of wanted to get it out of Lorain County and get the trial in Cuyahoga County because they thought everybody kind of knew about it, which is not untrue. It seems like everybody here and there does kind of know about the case. But so they may like their chances more so at an appellate court as opposed to a local court. But as you point out, it could kind of end up anywhere here at this point.
And that, too, two legal experts that I've spoken with said that they were very surprised that it didn't get moved out to a different county. You know, that was a decision that was made very early on that we're not going to change the venue. And they were very surprised at that because they were wondering how a Lorain County jury made up of Lorain County residents who maybe don't hold the same views or have a, you know, I don't want to say an axe to grind because that's not really fair to the jurors because they heard all the evidence and I wasn't there every day. Yeah. I don't know what they considered behind closed doors, all that kind of thing. But if you get, you know, some people on there who say, you know, we have an axe to grind with Oberlin College. You know, that's entirely possible that kind of thing could result from this. And it was big news out here. Mm-hmm. It was big news out here back in November of 2016.
Well, you'd be hard pressed to find someone who doesn't have some kind of opinion on it. I was at an establishment across the street and heard folks talking about it and giving their points of view. So it's one of those things. It seemed everyone in Lorain County had some sort of input on.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this thing is far, far from over. It's been going on for a very, very long time. And, well, speaking of compelling stories that have been going on for a very long time, how about the run Fligner's Market in Lorain is on right now, celebrating 95 years? Really incredible stuff, Dave. And you were able to detail this a little bit earlier today. Fligner's Market is the last remaining independent and family-owned grocery store celebrating 95 years in business. This had to be a story that was a lot of fun for you to uncover.
It was really nice talking to Kel Flinger, you know, the other night and just basically saying, hey, you know, what are you guys doing around here that's going to be special in the coming week. And they're going to have they're going to have specials and in-store sampling and, you know, running special ads and, on local media, including in the Chronicle. And, it's really neat to see that, it's in its fourth generation, you know, fourth or fifth generation, family owned, has probably outlived a number of its competitors over the years. Basically last family owned, independently owned grocery store, and that's uncommon for grocery stores anymore, especially these days. A lot of times, you know, the bigger chains run them out of business, but they have, you know, all their specialty meats and all their, you know, and all the things that they still do, and there are very few, you know, being a consumer myself, like there's not a lot of places they'll carry your groceries out to the car for you. There's a few, and that's really kind of, you know, they really play that up, those few that still do that. Fligner still does that, you know, and that's a family name. I mean, in Lorain, if you grew up there, I imagine that you've been inside the store. You know, anybody from, you know, from what 19, you know, what are we talking about? 1924, you know, that's incredible. That's not a lot of businesses, you know, family owned, especially, have been around for 95 years and good on them, you know, real good for them. And It's going to be real nice, and we'll have some, you know, continuing coverage of that, and maybe some photos and things, you know, in the next couple of days. So to check that out. But good for the Fligners. Congratulations on 95 years in business.
They custom cut meats, and they've got a catering business. Now, did you have the opportunity to go down to the market to do this interview, or is this something you did over the phone?
This is a phone interview, because we just wanted to let people know this is what's happening. You know,
are you going to get the chance to go down there?
I'm thinking I'm going to run up there. I think I'm going to run up there and check it out in the next couple of days and see what all the fuss is about. You know, I have yet to be in there. And again, you know, I've only been with the Chronicle for what, you know, 9 months or so. But so I'm still trying to get the feel of Lorain County, all the places that you need to go to, you know, to call yourself a denizen. You know, a resident of the county, or at least somebody who, you know, spends every day, you know, working here trying to tell its stories.
I was looking at the pictures of their bakery earlier today, and see, they get all this credit for being such a wonderful market and business now for 95 years, custom cut meats, you know, the catering, all that good stuff. Their bakery doesn't get nearly enough play. I mean, I wanted to lick my screen when I saw the picture of the bakery. They had so many awesome pastries, cupcakes, you name it, man. So good on you if you get to go down there, Dave O'Brien. That sounds like that would be a lot of fun.
I'm going to have to check it out.
Just don't tease Matt and I if you get to go down there, and we don't.
Yeah, I'll try to bring something back.
I was going
to
say, just bring a little something back, and it's all good.
All right, fair enough. That sounds like one heck of a deal. I think we could definitely make that happen. Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on the Local Beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. All right, Dave, we mentioned that you have been all over the place, you know, covering great stories such as the one we just mentioned, talking about Fligner's Market in Lorain celebrating 95 years. We mentioned you've been all over that Gibson's Bakery and Oberlin College case. And, well, just a couple days ago, you uncovered a story about agents from the FBI's Cleveland office conducting a raid in an Elyria neighborhood on Saturday. Well, what's the latest here?
So, as it goes with the FBI, and I completely understand this, having dealt with them in the past, and, you know, and worked alongside them in the past, they're not saying an awful lot. Now, what they will say is this is an ongoing investigation. I know that there were some vehicles that were towed. I know that their evidence response team, which is the folks in the blue shirts with the gold lettering, and you know, they're always wearing khaki pants and hats, and you'll see them if you think back on some of the Cuyahoga County corruption stuff that happened some years ago. They were all over the place, you know, carting boxes out of county offices and out of, you know, and things like that. So they get their photos taken. So they were out there, and basically the neighbors were kind of, oh, what's going on here? You know, here's what we heard. What have you heard? You know, so they were asking me questions, and I'm asking them questions. It was raining. It was kind of a rotten day that afternoon, but nothing much more than just a general rumor. And again, this is entirely a rumor, a general rumor that it has something to do with narcotics. It's something about illegal narcotics. There were drugs, you know, potentially in the house, or there was some sort of sales and or trafficking going on. Again, we don't have any names. We don't have any arrestees. We don't know what kind of things were carted out of the house. I know that I saw, you know, a couple vehicles carted away on flatbed, you know, tow trucks, and I'm sure that the FBI is completely involved in the investigation, and will, you know, upon the time when maybe some charges come down, we'll find out a little bit more. But for right now, it's again, we just don't know an awful lot. Again, just kind of rumors and scuttlebutt says it's drugs.
Fair enough. Well, for now, we will go off the rumors and the scuttlebutt, right? That works. Nothing more to go off.
I mean, I love working. I prefer to work with facts. I wish I had all the facts, and I could tell all our fine listeners all the facts. But
yeah, but
right
facts,
now, I just don't have all of them.
rumors in scuttlebutt is that that's just more fun to say than facts, right?
Certainly scuttlebutt is, I'll say that, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, speaking of rumors and scuttlebutt, what kinds of scanner stories do you have for this week? See, I've got one, but I can't tell it on the air. I mean, when we go to the next commercial break, I'll tell you, because it involves a story in Florida where people just get stranger by the minute. But
oh boy,
what kinds of good scanner stories do you have for us this week?
Well, I'll give you one real quick that I read from a feed that I follow on Twitter, which was basically an officer getting asked by a lady, "Hey, can you abduct my son for me?"
Huh.
I thought that was an interesting
I've
one.
I've been there. I'm a parent of two. I can see why you might want somebody to take your kid off your hands for a little while. I don't know that I'd ask the officer.
That might not be a great, you know, that might not be a great way to start off that conversation. Hey, officer, can you commit a felony for me, please?
Yeah, right. That term, too. I might say, hey, could you take my daughter for a little while? I don't know. Abduct would be the use.
Abduct's probably not a great one. And the only other one that I had for you folks, and I apologize if I told it in a previous iteration, but my buddy Mark down in Columbus was sent this one along, and it was basically several children fighting in the house, and mom or dad or one of the guardians or parental units, you know, dialed up the police, and the tagline on that one was "Happy summer, folks."
So wait. They called the cops just because the kids were tussling in the house? Or is there a little bit more going on here than what meets the eye?
This to me, if I recall it correctly, was younger kids who apparently just, you know, had decided not to go outside, at, you know, where the skies are beautiful. You know, maybe not so much now as we've just been getting hammered with rain. But this was why don't you boys find something more constructive to do with your day than drive your mom and or dad crazy by rampaging around the house. It's one of those same ones, and we get it all the time. I hear this all the time, and it's one of those things that's so not strange anymore. It just happens constantly. Officer, can you show up? My son and or daughter won't get out of bed to go to school. That still happens. That happens an awful lot. That happens more than you know, where mom or dad is so fed up with the kid.
Huh.
Call the cops.
Just call the cops to get them out of bed.
I do not suggest it.
Maybe they should make a nice breakfast. Then that might entice them to get out of bed a little faster.
You know, wow. And that's just, I mean... You know, if you're a parent, you know, and all the parents out there, you know, I'm right there with you. It's like, that's the point at which, you know, you just go in and I mean, it rather than get the police involved when they have other better things to do, throw a cup of water, cold water on the kid, like, you know, just make them
come out.
You know, pull those sheets right off and go school now. You know, hop on that bus. You know, let's go. Come on. You know,
make it happen.
I've been on the other side too, though. I haven't wanted to go to school, but I never got the cops called on me.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I can't say as though I ever let it go that far either. I mean, I'm sure I probably towed the line a few times, but I don't think I ever let it go that far. Not even close. Dave, a pleasure as always, my friend. We appreciate the time. Always love having you in studio, and we'll do this again next week.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave, again. Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on our local beat. It's brought to you by the fine folks at Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry. If you stop by, you'll see why. We need to get to a break here in just a few moments. Matt will tell us what's happening with the local news, and then we will come back for the final 90 minutes of today's show here on AM 930 WEOL.
Hi, this is Jim Rosenhaus with this date in Cleveland Indians history. And on this date back in 1995, one of many walk-off wins for the Tribe at then Jacobs Field. They walked off the Angels 7-5. Albert Bell with a three-run home run in the bottom half of the ninth inning off of Lee Smith did the damage. 7-5, the final score, made a winner out of Paul Ossenmacher as the Indians with that victory improved to 51-22 on the season. That's this date back in 1995.
Words are important. Let's change the language of addiction. Substance use disorders carry a high burden of stigma. The fear of judgment means people are less likely to seek help and more likely to drop out of treatment programs. protest any labels that turn people into things. For example, instead of using addict as a noun, choose phrasing like person in recovery or person with substance misuse disorder. In short, separate the person from the disease. A message from the Addis Board of Lorain County.
With baseball, what's happening off the field can be just as important as the hits, runs, and errors. Get the full story on the games and more in the Chronicle-Telegram. All season, Chris Ossenheimer pens Tribe Notes, bringing you the inside scoop, the slumps, the streaks, and what's behind the rumors. Follow the Tribe and all your favorite sports. Subscribe by phone or sign up at ChronicleT.com. The Chronicle, Lorain County's largest newspaper.
Bullseye on the Afternoon talks baseball every Friday afternoon at 4:10 with Jim Rosenhaus. Brought to you by your North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco at Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Rosie will talk Tribe.
You know, Terry Francona is kind of looking forward to just a different group here. And does that mean it's going to be more challenging? You bet.
And you can win tickets to an upcoming game. Friday afternoons at 4:10 on AM 930 WEOL, on the WEOL mobile app and at WEOL.com.
Napa Know-How.
Right now, get a 5-quart jug of Napa Conventional Motor Oil for just $11.99. That's a pretty unbelievable deal for a pretty unbelievable oil. But trust us, it's totally real, but only for a limited time. So get your 5-quart jug of Napa Conventional Motor Oil for only $11.99 today. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Limit 6 per customer. Offer ends 6/30/19.
Bowls, high on weather on AM 930. Cloudy overnight with a low near 60. Rain moves back in Wednesday afternoon with a high of 77.
I'm Frank Miller with Your Money Now. Well, stocks finished with some solid gains this Tuesday. The Dow up over 350 points. The S&P 500 was up around 28 points, while the NASDAQ was up nearly 110 points. Stocks rallied after President Trump said on Twitter that he had a very good phone conversation with Chinese President Xi Jinping and plans to have an extended meeting with him at next week's G20 summit. That news sent stocks soaring. President also tweeting about comments made by European Central Bank President Mario Draghi, who said that the ECB may lower rates and provide more stimulus. President Trump said that such a move would be unfair to the U.S. and accused the ECB of manipulating currency. On the economic front today, the Commerce Department said that new residential home construction fell unexpectedly, although the drop came from upwardly revised April figures. And oil rallied today amid optimism between the U.S. and China possibly reaching a trade deal, and amid reports that OPEC and other producers may reach a deal to extend a production cut. Oil up $1.97 to $53.90 a barrel. That's your money now.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once. Over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor.